That was disturbing, and I did not like it. I did not consent to this.
We're keeping that in.
Of course we are.
I blame Dragon Ball Z Abridged. It's still in my head.
Oh, that's right. The 60th episode came out.
Yeah! I watched that. It was kind of disappointing for how long I waited for it.
It's only part two, dang it.
I know, it's only part one. There's going to be two other parts. It's going to be great. But part one was kind of disappointing for how long I waited.
Nah.
Okay, cut that out. Well. Cut that out. I don't want people to hear me bashing on TFS, because TFS is great.
No, I'm going to keep that in. I'll just put it in at a different point. But welcome to the sixth episode?
Yes,
sixth episode of Pixels, Polygons, and Fun, where we talk about anything under the video game sun. I am your host, Raging Gingy. Along with me today is my tired co-host, Mr. Pegasus. Pegasus, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. I almost wasn't here today because I went on a trip to my grandma's husband's farmhouse, and I had no idea if anybody knew the Wi-Fi password, and I thought I was going to be screwed. But now I'm here to make the funnies and then fall asleep on air, I'm sure.
Well, that'll be fun and interesting. And we also have a returning guest with us today, Mr. DJ Skywalker. How are you today, sir?
I am back to ruin any credibility Gingy has.
Where have you been? Where did I even have any to begin with?
I don't need to keep track of your life. I'm not your keeper. That's your son's job.
He didn't hear my question, but I remembered the answer, so it doesn't matter.
But anyway, welcome back, you guys, where we will talk about anything under the video game sun. And with
darn it, I forgot to yell at you about not saying that before.
Yeah, I caught you. Knew you were going to. But let's go ahead and jump into the news. But first, I need to make a quick phone call, so we will be right back.
Yes. I see. Good news, everyone!
And welcome back, you guys, to the news. Have a few things to talk about. Got a serious one that I kind of wanted to mention, but we'll save that for last. But the first one I wanted to talk about today is that as of this recording, PAX West is going on. And this announcement come from EA during their panel at PAX when they were talking about their game Anthem. I'm assuming you guys have heard of that game from BioWare, right?
No.
Have you, DJ?
What was it again?
Anthem.
Anthem. Oh. I'm one of the few people out there who are just, there's no reason for it. I don't see the appeal.
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to it. And they announced earlier today that EA will be making, and I put quotes around, VIP demo. I'm pulling this article from GameSpot. They have announced that the demo will be available to EA/Origin Access subscribers on Xbox One and PC, respectively, on February 1st, 2019. The demo will also be available to pre-order customers, which opens the door for PS4 players to get in on said action. And EA has also confirmed that the Anthem release date is February 22nd, 2019.
Wow!
And just a bit of a summary for you, Pegasus. The game is a sci-fi action RPG that casts the players as freelancers, which I will always associate that with Red versus Blue, but that's besides me, who are soldiers that are equipped with javelins. And javelins, you can essentially think of those like Iron Man suits. They're super...
Okay, you say javelin, and I think of the Olympic event where you throw a spear really far.
All right, that's what the Iron Man suits are called. They're called javelins that you can use to fly around your environments, engage with enemies while completing quests by yourself or with others.
So it's Destiny meets Titanfall.
That's a good way to put it, DJ, yeah.
Not interested.
Okay, and then the next thing I wanted to bring up, Battlefield 5 is officially getting a delay.
Oof.
Ooh, who didn't see that coming?
love how, like, I could tell the slight subtlety in your voice that, like, you sounded excited for a second, and then you say delay, and the excitement went away. You're like, Battlefield 5 has officially been delayed.
No, I thought I was going to try to put, like, a dramatic pause in there, but no, I mean, it's not going to, or it wasn't delayed too long. It was delayed about a month. So now the original release for Battlefield 5 was going to be October 19th of 2018, but we now know it is going to be released now, November 20th of 2018.
Yeah, putting it in an arguably worse spot than it was.
Right, I mean, I can see where they would want to move it, especially with Red Dead Redemption 2 coming out. I mean, it looks like to me that all the developers are just trying to stay out of Red Dead's way at this point.
Yeah, but you know what their release date puts Battlefield 5 at? It puts it at 1 week after Fallout 76, and only a few days after Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee.
Yeah, they did not pick a good spot, did they?
No, they didn't.
But essentially, and this is coming from GamesRadar, and I quote from DICE General Manager Oscar Gabrielson. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. You've also spurred us to make some meaningful improvements to the core gameplay experience, including adjusting the gameplay tempo, improving soldier visibility, and reducing player friction. I don't get the reducing player friction part, whatever that means, but I mean, if you're taking the time to make sure that the game launches fine, I'm okay with waiting, but honestly, Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee is on my horizon right now.
The players are building up too much static electricity, so much friction.
It's also only a week. Also, a week after Battlefield 5 comes out is Darksiders 3.
Oof, they chose a real bad date.
Yeah, Spyro comes out that month too.
Oh my god, they're so dumb.
Oh, and Hitman 2 apparently.
I just called an entire branch of game development dumb, and I want to apologize because anybody who can do that at all is a genius.
It's also EA, so. Wah wah wah.
They may be money grubbing, but they're still geniuses because they can make games.
Mm. We'll see.
So, yeah, are you guys want? Wow, what? I was about to say I'm drawing a blank. Are you guys interested in Battlefield 5 at all?
No, I don't play shooters.
I tried Battlefield once. Yeah. It just wasn't that fun.
I had one of the Battlefields on PS3, and it was kind of a little bit fun. Like, I had slightly more fun with it than I did Black Ops 2, but slightly less fun than I did with Black Ops 1.
I think the only Battlefield that gets universal praise is Bad Company 1 and 2.
I don't know what it was about Black Ops 1. I think Black Ops 1 might be, like, one of my favorite first-person shooters, which isn't saying much, because I hate first-person shooters. But it's definitely up there on that list of high ones.
Right. But the last news story I wanted to talk about, I know it has been all over the internet, and it is an absolute tragedy that should have never happened. My heart goes out to everyone who was personally affected, but if you guys did not hear, there unfortunately was a shooting at the Madden NFL qualifier tournament.
Yeah.
Is that video game news?
It's something that I wanted to bring up.
Well, it happened at a video game competition.
So I certainly think it needs to be talked about. It was certainly preventable.
Oh, I thought you meant actual football. I'm like, why are we talking about a video game?
Madden. But not to get off track, I found this article. I wanted to commend EA with what they are doing. They have pledged to donate $1 million to a fund that is being set up for the victims of that fading shooting. Because we both know, and I'm sorry if I get people upset by talking about this, so if you have any concerns, please email us so we can set the record straight. The killer was identified as the killer decided to open fire. 11 people were injured at the Jacksonville landing. Unfortunately, 2 people lost their lives, and my heart goes out to everyone who was affected. But
it's terrible.
I wanted
mine too. I'm sorry if anybody like thought I was being a meanie because I was like, why are we talking about this? Yeah, my heart goes out to the victims.
It was a horrible thing that shouldn't have happened.
Right. So I wanted to give some praise to EA for what they were doing, that they are doing, is setting up that fund to help the victims.
Yeah. EA is not always evil, I guess.
Well, I mean,
I'll give them praise for that.
They can't be evil when such a tragic public event happens during one of their big things.
I can't tell you as of this moment why it happened. So if I offend anyone by not being completely informed, I sincerely apologize. And if you have any problems, please feel free to message me directly either at my Twitter or the show email, and I will profusely apologize. But again, the last statement I wanted to say, this was a tragedy that could have been prevented. We do have that stigma around mental illness. So if you are feeling that way, if you think you need help, you're not alone. Reach out. If you don't have anyone to talk to, message me directly. You can find me on Twitter. You can email me directly with the show. If you're having those negative feelings, you should get help, not only for other people, but more importantly, yourself. But kind of end there. We will
there
go
is
ahead
no
and-
easy way to switch out
Hold
of that.
Hold on a second. Usually ask me if there's any other news, and this time there is, so...
Oh, by all means. Do you have any news for us, Mr. Pegasus? Oh, you know what? I do have one question for you. Per the last episode, I need a update. Do you have MySpace set up for pixels, polygons, and fun?
God, next episode, definitely. I've been busy.
All right. Now, that was your MySpace update for the week, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, Pegasus. Yes,
MySpace happening next episode. Also, this is news that I was recently informed of by our guests, because I didn't know it was coming this soon. Spider-Man PS4 coming soon. Friday, I think you said.
Friday, September 7th. Most hyped game of the year for me. Yeah.
I mean, if Tom Holland isn't voicing Spider-Man, I'm out.
He's not.
Darn.
It's the voice of Simone from Gurren Lagann, the English dub.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I didn't know
that. He also voiced Ben Tennyson from Alien Force, Ultimate Ooh. Alien, and Omniverse.
That I do remember. I've never seen Gurren Lagann, but I did watch Ben 10 as a kid. So yeah, I remember that voice.
What is his name? Let me do some quick research here. I want IMDb.
Man, I need a Spider-Man game in my life where Spider-Man is actually voiced by Tom Holland.
I think you kind of get that in the Spider-Man VR that came out for Homecoming.
Oh, did that happen?
Yeah, there's a VR. There's a small like VR demo for it that you can get on Steam. Yuri Lowenthal is his name.
Oh, he plays Sasuke, doesn't he?
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah, he's
and
Sasuke.
He was
in
the prince and Prince of Persia.
Yeah, I think I best know him as I didn't know that Sasuke and Ben 10 were played by the same dude.
Now you know.
Oh, Wayne, Ginger, you're gonna love this. He's also the voice of Marth in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Nice.
Oh, dang.
He is a big voice actor. He is popular in so many things.
Yeah, if you had said Yuri Lowenthal, I would have known who you were talking about instantly, because I know him as the voice of
He's
Sasuke.
In Ruby. He's Mercury Black in Ruby Volume 5.
I've watched 3 episodes of Ruby.
Let's see here. He was in Persona 3, Blaze Blue. He's like in everything.
Yes, he is. And
I love him.
We're gonna cut it there and jump into our next segment. So we will be back. And welcome to our second segment, where we will generally talk about what we've played in the last week or what we've been up to. And as always, we start with Pegasus. Pegasus, what have you played this last week?
Okay, can I just say I feel bad and I feel like I'm catching freaking Alzheimer's because I always forget this section of the show exists? And I always expect to go into our topic after news, and then you're like, games we played this week, and I'm like, oh, yeah.
I weep for the future.
When I'm like, what? Pixels, polygons, and who?
What did you play this last week?
I've been pretty light on the video games. School. I don't even have any schoolwork, but just the stress of school has me, like, tired when I get home, so I don't play video games. Really, what I've played is basically amounts to some Grand Theft Auto 5, which I've said before is probably my favorite game of all time, so that's a good game.
Okay. I still have only watched YouTube videos of that game.
It's really fun. I mostly, like, I'm in the very minority when I say this. I like it because of its campaign. I think I'm one of, like, 3 people who enjoys GTA because of its campaign.
Don't you know? Players don't like story modes anymore. It's all about multiplayer.
Well, no, I'm not talking about that. I mean, specifically with GTA, all people care about is shooting people and stealing cars. Going to strip clubs. them digital boobs. Gotta have them.
And just like that, this podcast got demonetized.
We don't even publish on YouTube because Gingy's too lazy.
Kit. Okay. I'm not going to curse, or at least I'm going to try not to. But, Senior DJ, what have you been up to this last week, sir?
Hold on, I was not done. Rude. How rude.
Go ahead, Pegasus.
Just today, I've got a ROM of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for the Game Boy Advance on my phone, and it's kind of fun, and I like it.
That's all
I had to say.
DJ, what have you been up to this last week?
I have been getting myself hyped for Spider-Man on PS4 by playing one of my favorite classic Spider-Man games, which to me is a classic, though for some reason a lot of people did not like, Spider-Man Web of Shadows on PS3.
I don't exactly remember that one.
It was an underrated title that had some of the, in my opinion, some of the best Spider-Man web-swinging fighting since Spider-Man 2. It felt like you were playing as Spider-Man in a Marvel world. It wasn't just Spider-Man's world.
You know, quick side tangent about a funny story about a Spider-Man game, just real quick. I have a couple of friends who I regularly work with on the YouTube space and also do a podcast with, known on the interwebs as Jova Sanvenitas and Mass Illusions. And we were going to do a collab video where Jomas was going to play Amazing Spider-Man 2, and we were just commentating over it. And we attempted to do that video like 5 separate times, and something went wrong every time. So the video never came to fruition.
That's a shame. No, that's not one of their best games, sadly.
Yeah, I know. That was the point. He was playing a bad game. And we were making jokes about it.
But for me, I loved Web of Shadows. The gameplay was just phenomenal. Even when I originally played it on the Wii, it actually worked very well with motion controls. But even the story itself is one I don't think I've ever seen in the comics before. Basically, the story is Spidey has gotten his black suit back, and that's part of the gameplay. You can switch between the red and black suits, gaining different powers. Ooh. And Venom essentially takes over New York and is breeding, turning people into zombie symbiotes.
Oh, God.
Wow.
And it's up to Spidey to save the day while also trying to stop the black suit from taking over. Because there's actually moral choices in this game that determine different endings, where you can be good or evil.
Really cool. How much money does this cost nowadays to like grab a PS3 copy?
I think I got the PS3 copy from GameStop for like $20.
How long ago was that?
2 months ago. I haven't had this copy long.
I'm trying to find it right now. Give me 1 second.
I can bring up GameStop real here. I've got our favorite
cash. I might grab Web of Shadows because that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's a really good game. And like you can meet different Marvel characters. Like almost right off the bat, you run into Luke Cage. And he'll fight alongside you at times.
Spider-Man has always intrigued me as a superhero, but I never thought he was played well in movies. I didn't like the original Spider-Man, and I had never seen Amazing Spider-Man, but the MCU Spider-Man, Tom Holland knocks it out of the park. Honestly,
do you not like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man?
Yeah,
I didn't care for him much.
I didn't care for Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
You can get the PS3 or Xbox version for $25.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah, the only movie portrayal of Spider-Man I've ever found really enjoyable was the MCU Spider-Man. Spider-Man Homecoming is honestly now my favorite movie of all time.
There's also the Spider-Man Web of Shadows for Wii for $10.
Yep. And the Wii version actually has something special that's not in the 360 and PS3 version. Is that there's these little Spider-Man coins that are in all of the versions where you collect them, and that's how you build up your level. But in the Wii version, if you can collect for certain amounts that you collect, you unlock alternate costumes.
Huh.
So, you can play in the Scarlet Spider outfit, and I think if you collect them all, you can wear the Iron Spidey suit.
Nice.
God, there's so many things I want to grab for my PS3. I want to try the Arkham series. I want to try Fallout stuff. And now Spider-Man Web of Shadows.
Spoiler for that game. There is a point where Wolverine gets infected. And you have to take down symbiote Wolverine. Yes. Venom Wolverine. God. And if you pick the bad choice in defeating him, Spider-Man rips him in half.
What? What?
Let's not tell Deadpool that.
He rips him in half and leaves him there.
Imagine symbiote Deadpool. I think that happened in the comics, but...
You can get a Funko of that.
Of symbiote Deadpool?
Yeah, there's a whole Venom Funko line out right now. Venom Iron Man, Venom Carnage... Venom, Captain America, Venom, Hulk. They're getting ready for the movie.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that's my fan talk of Spider-Man Web of Shadows. My favorite Spider-Man game until this new one comes out, because it looks amazing.
There's an Avengers anime of some kind. I still can't find the details on what it is. But I know Deadpool's in it, and I think that was
the Wolverine anime.
It's real funny. No, I think the Avengers were involved somehow.
Well, I know X-Men and Wolverine had animes. I don't think the Avengers themselves had one.
Oh, because I know Deadpool. It was like, I saw the scene where like Deadpool is like talking to the audience as he usually does, and he's telling Japan about how popular he is in America. It's real funny.
All right. Anything else you played this week, DJ?
Just a typical Dokkan battle. Enjoying that 250 million download. Spectacular.
I know. I am too. I've been working on Dokkan for the week. I've also been playing Legend of Soul Guard, like I mentioned last week. sort of taken a break with Jurassic World Alive because I don't even. I talked about that bullshit last time. I don't want to bring it up again. So I'm taking a break from that.
And so recently, much for not cursing.
Right. And recently, I recovered my Naruto Ultimate Ninja Hero Blazing account.
By the way, I apologize. We're not turning into a PG podcast. I'm just in a place right now that I don't want to hear people swearing. I'm not in my usual recording place, which is in my own bed, in my own room, with a sleeping mother. It's in my grandmother's husband's farmhouse with my grandmother and her husband still very awake. So.
All right. Well, yeah, I recovered my Naruto Ultimate Ninja Blazing account. So I've actually been playing that because I honestly thought I lost that account entirely when I got a new phone. But I've also been playing Pokemon Go. Which, by the way, I will make a notice. DJ, you need to sign on to your account thingy, open up your present so I can send you more.
But Pokemon Go is so boring.
Well, you can now get Entei as your research breakthrough for the month of September.
But what good is it if I can't even transfer it to Let's Go?
You can transfer the Kanto Pokemon to Let's Go.
Yeah, why would I want an Entei in a game I don't play?
May you're just a bundle of sunshine today, aren't you?
Well, the sun's gone down, so.
Excuse me, Mr. Raging Gingy, real talk?
Yes.
You need to hurry up with that iPad.
But, all right, you guys, we are going to go ahead and cut the second segment, and we will jump into our final, our topic. We will be right back. And welcome back to our final segment, you guys, where we'll generally just pick a topic about anything that regards video games. And me and DJ have talked about it for a minute. So I kind of wanted to start out with reading a paragraph and see if it catches your attention, Pegasus. Are you ready?
Okay, go ahead, lay it on me.
Sometime in 2010, a bike courier that lived in Empire City was taking a mysterious package to its destination.
In New York, they have carriers that go by bike because it's faster to get around since traffic is god awful.
Oh, I thought you said a bite courier, and I'm like, what's
no.
that?
Bike.
Bike okay. court courier. When Cole arrived at the destination, he mysteriously received a phone call. The mysterious owner of the package told him to open the said package. And when Cole released it, there was a massive explosion.
Oof. And then he was an unsuspecting terrorist.
We're not at that point just yet.
Okay.
So next thing that happened, this is all, I don't necessarily want to say spoiler. I mean,
that's how the thing opens.
this entire episode is you completely spoiling me. You're supposed to explain the entire.
Well, I'm also giving it a heads up. A heads up to people. But anyway, Cole wakes up in this giant crater. He doesn't know what the hell is going on. He shouldn't have survived all that. But now, as he is navigating through the crater, whenever he walks by an electronic, the electronic responds to him and he gets zapped with electricity.
That sounds like a torturous existence.
Except he's not affected by it.
Oh, okay.
Healed by the electricity.
I was like, imagine every time you're walking by an electronic device, you're just like, duh, ow, duh, ow.
And then after he escaped the destroyed section of that said city, and when he recovered from his injuries, with his best friend and his girlfriend helped him recover, I should say, he developed the electric superpower, which he is known. Oh, wow, I cannot talk today. I'm so sorry, ladies electric and gentlemen. Man. He is called a conduit.
He's not called the Electric Man?
They don't have superhero names in this story.
Darn.
But DJ, what happens next?
That's gonna be my shtick for this episode. I'm gonna make up superhero names for every character.
Well, what happens next is that he slowly starts to get used to this new power, or as it's technically called in earned terms, electrokinesis. He has the ability to manipulate electricity at his whim, whether it be draining it or releasing it. Some time passes after the destruction of the city, where it's been fully cut off from the government. Hello, another city like that. That happens a lot, now that I think about it.
Oof.
And sometime later, it gets posted all over the Empire City of the video of Cole being the one to seemingly set off the bomb that put everyone in this mess. The only person in the entire city so far with these powers, and the entire city is now turned against him.
Oh, no.
And it also should be mentioned that during the said blast, Cole's girlfriend lost her sister.
Aww.
And after Cole...
Cole is sleeping on the couch tonight.
...framed... Heartbreaking. Absolutely heartbreaking. And the girlfriend leaves you. Because in her mind, it's your fault she lost her sister.
My girlfriend broke up with me because she thought I committed a terrorist attack that killed her sister.
Oh, she knows the story behind it.
Oh, okay.
It's just always going to be that lingering thought in the back of her head.
And then, as Cole was trying to escape with his friend, he came across, I would say, a bitch with resting face syndrome. She essentially gave Cole a choice that he can either rot in the cell that he was in, or he can help her find her husband.
Ooh.
And he was set back loose into Empire City to start finding her husband and to get what is called the race sphere.
Ooh. Interesting.
And DJ, I mean, Pegasus doesn't know what it is. What is the race sphere?
Oh, I'm actually reading up because I have to refresh my memory. I haven't played the first one in forever.
I've been replaying through that, actually. Taking a little bit of a break.
Is it a sphere full of power that can only be wielded by a man named Roy? Ray. I'm sorry. I messed up the joke.
Wanted to reach into my computer screen to smack my co-host before, ladies and gentlemen, but here it is.
I'm leaving the podcast. I've been fired.
Wah, wah, wah.
But tell us, Mr. DJ, what is the Ray Spear?
Who knew Gingy would fire me before Cameron? Okay, go ahead.
Oh, from what I'm reading up to refresh my memory, it was designed to consume bioenergy from thousands of lives and transfer it to one person, making them into a conduit as well.
Ooh, fun.
So you sacrifice an entire city for more power, essentially, is what it does.
More people for me to give superhero names. That's my joy for this episode.
And throughout the story, we come across a mysterious man known by the name of Kessler.
Okay.
And we all know who Kessler is. I mean, at this point, when you see him, yeah, except for you. Me and DJ know who Kessler is.
Yes.
I'm uncomfortable.
But anyway, throughout the story, you are trying to find John, who is Moya, Moya's husband, John and Cole, you finally find the Ray Spear, the device that gives you your electrical powers and made you the terrorist that killed a crap ton of people. And you set on trying to destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
But while you attempt to destroy the said device, you cause the device to collapse in on itself, and John gets sucked in, and he's completely vaporized.
Who's John again?
He's Moya's husband, the FBI lady who sent you back into the city to find her husband in the Ray Sphere.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So the sphere is gone. John is gone. By this point, Cole has lost nearly everything.
He lost another person, too, by this point.
So now he must face Kessler. He must face Kessler, who has planned this entire scenario out from the very beginning.
Hold on, Kessler. Is Kessler a conduit? Does he have a power?
Yes, Kessler is. And this is going to blow your mind.
Okay.
Cole, and we should mention at this point, Cole has lost everything. At this point, he had even lost his girlfriend, Trish, because she had unfortunately passed away because of Kessler.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
So Trish is now dead. The only person Cole has left is Zeke, his best friend.
And even they're having a rough patch because he was tempted to use the Ray Sphere for his own, but now he must face Kessler on his own.
What is Kessler's power? What does Kessler do?
We're getting there. Cole comes back to Ground Zero, the original spot where the Ray Sphere set off in the very beginning of this little story that gave Cole his power.
Oh, okay.
So back to the very beginning where there is a final confrontation with Kessler. And okay. Kessler shows Cole a vision, Mr. DJ. Do you recall what that vision is?
Oh, yes, I remember. Kessler tells Cole.
This voice you're doing is like you're about to tell me a story about, like, 40 years ago I was in the army canteen with my...
Kessler tells the story of a young man and woman who have their life ahead of them, who have little who eventually have children of their own, growing up in Empire City, so grand and wonderful, until a being called the Beast destroys it all. He destroys Empire City, leaving the young man with no family left, his wife and children murdered by this monster. And when it is revealed, Kessler is Cole from an alternate timeline. Kessler traveled back in time to stop the Beast. And so he had to destroy Cole's life in the present.
Okay, so I have to think of an alternate name from Electric Man because he's Cole. He's Man of Electricity. That's a supervillain name. Electric Man versus Man of Electricity.
And so we of course know that Cole is triumphant against Kessler, or we should just say future Cole at this point.
You mean Electric Man is triumphant against Man of Electricity.
And Cole denounces that memory, but now he will train himself to be able to overcome the Beast when it arrives.
And that leads into Infamous 2?
That it does.
Indeed it does.
Tell me all about that.
May I stop this one, Gingy?
By all means. Floor is yours.
Infamous 2 begins not too long after Infamous 1. We start in Empire City, where Cole has been training for his battle against the Beast.
Wait, what happened to Zeke? Is Zeke still alive?
Zeke is still alive. Zeke was essential into ending Kessler. But that is something that is more needs to be played.
It makes me sad that none of you. It makes me sad that none of you will use my super names.
Well, they're much cooler without a superhero name. Anyway, Infamous 2 begins our story in Empire City, where Cole has been training against his training to battle the Beast. Until fire erupts in Empire City, the Beast has arrived several years early and is now destroying Empire City. Cole swatted away in one hit. The Beast towers over Empire City, destroying it without a care, just murdering everyone of him that dares get close. In a last-ditch effort, Moya takes Cole and Zeke south to avoid the Beast. Heading along the coast, they arrive in... What was the name of the town?
New Marais.
The equivalent of New Orleans. We were in New York City, now we're in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll allow Gingy to continue from there.
There seems to be a
severe lack of conduits. I figured there'd be a lot of them.
At the moment, Cole is the only one.
Ooh.
Keyword.
As the story goes on, we may see more.
After arriving in New Marais, the group had realized that the once beautiful and lawless city had become overtaken by a militia led by an evil man named Joseph Bertrand III, who has made his mission to kill all deviants or conduits.
Man, when I said Joseph, I was waiting for you to, like, my brain was like, he's gonna say it, and I'm like, no, he's not. I was waiting for Josefy Krakowski with flex tape.
Someone's been watching too much JonTron.
And Cole found what is called a blast core that essentially amplifies his conduit powers. And he was granted a new ability called the Ray Field Inhibitor, or RFI for short, which the RFI, you can essentially think of that as an anti-ray spear. Because we know at this point, the ray spear essentially triggers conduits.
Not in that way.
They're like, are you kidding me? What did you just say to me? I'm triggered.
They enable people who have the conduit gene to develop into a conduit. The RFI is essentially the opposite, which takes away the powers of any conduit it was used against.
Ooh.
However, there is a catch to it that they learn. In order to take away the gene, it will kill the person in turn.
Oof, that sounds not fun for the person who's...
Even if the gene is not active.
Oh, no.
And after Cole, before he could use the RFI, he had to collect multiple blast cores. And after Cole had collected one of the final blast cores, it was revealed the identity of the Beast. We now know who the Beast is. Mr. DJ. Okay.
Back in Empire City so long ago, when the race sphere collapsed in on itself, it did not do as we thought. Instead, the one person it took with it gave power.
It's John.
John survived the race sphere and became who we know as the Beast. However, he's not quite the same thing we expected. Why is that, Gingy? What is the Beast's special gift?
The Beast's special gift, he enables the conduit gene of any people who would potentially be conduits. Gosh, but you know, the downside is that you know, while he can also
do this topic,
hmm.
There's like 5 games for you guys to talk about, and that's not going to fit in our normal time frame.
We're going to have to cut it off after Infamous 2, and then we can come back and do Infamous Second Son.
Because the other two are sadly spin-off games, with right. only one being canon.
But anyway...
Wasn't there a First Light and then Second Son?
No. There was Festival of Blood and First Light.
Second Son is the official third game. First Light is a prequel that was released after.
Okay.
But anyway, the beast's power, Pegasus, he has the ability to enable the conduit gene in any potential conduits. But at the same time, anyone who does not have the conduit gene is eliminated.
Ooh, I'm gonna think of a name for this guy. I'm gonna do it.
And throughout
the enabler,
throughout the story,
don't laugh at me.
Come across 2 other conduits. DJ, who are these 2 conduits? 2 new conduits, I should say.
The first one is a very interesting new character called Nyx. A conduit with power over fire, who has lived in the bayou for most of her life and has come out to destroy this militia that has attacked her living space. She's a very interesting character, to say the least. But the
would
second is one...
She, hold on. Would you say that she is a hot girl?
For PS3 graphics, quite. The other... is one we are actually quite accustomed to.
Kill me right now.
Earlier in the game, at the very beginning, we were introduced to a new character called Quo, who is another NSA agent who was assigned to work with Cole. And together, they were the ones that escaped to Empire City. However, she was captured, and in her capture, discovered that she, too, was a conduit. One with the power of ice. However, she has very little control and does not quite enjoy this newfound power.
Cold Shoulder. That's my name. I'll be here all week, folks.
I could say another conduit by the name of Frost has a cold shoulder, but that is irrelevant to our story right now.
And in this, as the three begin developing a new friendship and partnership, there comes a point where Cole must choose between the two in a very special ritual, you could say.
I'm sorry, what?
Discovered,
hold on.
Not that kind of ritual. It is discovered that the militia has a device that can transfer conduit powers without taking them away from the original. That is how they have given their own men conduit powers as well. And Cole must choose who he can swap powers with as the machine is about to fall apart. Will he gain ice or fire? That is on the player to decide.
But no more electric, no more zappy zoos.
Oh, he has electric as well.
Okay.
He can gain ice or fire to coincide.
Dude, of course ice. Freezes stuff.
But now that we're at this point, DJ, there's a final confrontation. Do you want to explain that to Senior Pegasus?
Yes, it is this point when they have fully realized...
I just imagine a Pegasus with a sombrero and a mustache. Go ahead.
It is at this point they realize what the Rayfield inhibitor will do to anyone with the conduit gene. And in her fear of dying, Quo betrays them to the beast. However, Cole decides that after saving Quo, after talking her down...
Who's Quo again?
The ice one.
Okay.
Cole is able to talk her down, and together they activate the race sphere inhibitor.
Ooh.
And worldwide, all those with the conduit gene drop dead.
This
what?
Including the beast.
Including the beast. This selfish, including this selfless
Cole and Quo?
Act.
Cole, Quo, and Nyx.
This selfless act destroyed the plague, which was caused by the beast, and seemingly killed every living conduit on Earth. Though Zeke, being Cole's best friend, thought that Cole's sacrifice would go unrecognized. But he was wrong. The people of New Mirae hailed Cole as their savior and canonized him as the patron saint of New Mirae. However, wow. At the very, very end of the game, as we get our final cutscene, as Zeke begins to sail away from New Mirae to bury Cole at sea, a lightning bolt in the shape of a question mark strikes Cole's coffin, and that is the end of Infamous 2.
What?
And sadly, at this point in the story, that is the end of Cole's story.
Okay, that's... Never mind then. I was about to say, Gingy, you better open that wallet up, because we're going long, and you're paying for the overage.
That is sadly where the series has left Cole's story. Though many that's fans will still quit. Say that he may return, should... Not should they ever return to the series.
So come on, Sucker Punch, get on it. But we will come to Infamous Festival of Blood, Infamous Second Sun, and Infamous First Light as a second part to this episode, because we are running a bit low on time. But I wanted to hear your opinion, Pegasus. What do you think of Infamous so far?
I think that those games are on PS3, right?
Yes,
they are.
One, two, and Festival of Blood.
I think I'm gonna go pick them up. That's what I think.
You can get them pretty cheap right now.
Yeah, and there's even a collection which just comes with all three. Though, don't expect the Festival of Blood code to work.
The what code?
Festival of Blood is a PlayStation, is a PSN game. There is no physical version. The collection had a code for it, though at this point, any new copy of those codes have probably expired.
But you don't need the Festival of Blood to play. Right now, at GameStop, you can get the Infamous Collection, which packages Infamous 1 and 2 for $15.
Okay, but how much is Festival of Blood? Can you still buy it on the PS Store?
I can look that up real quick here. Festival of
You should Blood. Still be able to. I'm sitting on GameStop right now. You can still buy the download for $10.
Oh, all right. I'll have to check into that stuff once I get some.
It's $5 on the PSN.
Even better. Don't buy it from
my
GameStop.
My first priority is a Fallout game.
You can buy the bundle on PSN for $15 as well.
But I think the Infamous games have overtaken the Arkham games as next on my priority list.
Highly recommend it.
If you just buy them through the PSN, it's $15 for all three.
Oh wow!
So if you don't mind not having the physical copy, and it gives you extra missions and character costumes and stuff.
That it does. But I think we are unfortunately going to have to cut it there.
Well, there is one more thing that we did not touch on for Infamous that he should be aware of. There is a moral option to the story that determines the ending of each one.
Ooh.
You can be the savior or the destroyer.
Ooh.
There are two separate evil endings for each game, and we'll leave Pegasus and our audience to discover what lies ahead.
And then come time with Infamous Second Son. The one thing and the only thing I will say at this point is fuck that bitch. Fuck that bitch. But anyway, DJ, we appreciate you coming back on. Where can our listeners find you on the interwebs?
At the moment, you can simply find me on Twitter as DJ Skywalker. I am still working on my own personal YouTube career, so if it starts up while I still appear on the podcast, I will let you know.
Perfect. And Pegasus, where can our wonderful listeners find you?
You can follow me on Twitter at PegasusTheGame1. I make YouTube content at PegasusTheGamer, where recently I released Part 7 of my Emerald Let's Play, in which I do the battle tent and get swept by a Goldeen. Yeah, you need to watch that, Gingy. That was ridiculous.
Oh, I'll look it up as soon as we're done.
Okay, so anyway, I'm on a couple other podcasts. You can catch me on In Arceus We Trust if you're a Pokemon fan. You can look that up on anywhere the podcasts are found, mostly, I think. Probably. And there's Ghosts of Gaming Future, which is a podcast where me and the other two hosts, Jason and Joey, known on the internet as Droma Sanbenitas and Mass Illusions, talk about our own video game ideas. You can catch that only on YouTube, on the YouTube channel Ghost of Gaming Future. Follow the show on MySpace, coming soon.
And I would like to make a quick correction to my Twitter. It is actually at SkywalkerMLP. I had forgotten about that. So that's my Twitter.
What does the MLP stand for?
We'll talk about that in a later episode.
I quit the podcast.
Spoilers.
You can find me, and I like that little reference you did, DJ. I knew exactly what you were doing. You can find me and my personal Twitter at Raging Gingy. And then you can always find us in our community Discord, me, Pegasus, and yes, even DJ. And I will drop the Discord link down below. You can follow the show at PPAF Podcast. We have an email if you're interested for any comments, concerns, or even topic suggestions. You can email us directly at ppandfpodcast@gmail.com. And in case if you guys are not aware, we are now live on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. If you guys could please leave a review and whatever you think is fair, that would help the podcast out and enable other people to find us. We would genuinely appreciate it. And if we can get more listeners, we got a few surprises in the works for you guys. But
we don't have any reviews on iTunes as of yet, correct?
I don't believe so, but after we end recording, I will go double check. But this has
I was going to say check so we could read them on air if they were there, but right.
You know what? Let me check real quick.
Did you ever listen to an Arceus We Trust, right? I mean, obviously you do. What do you listen to it on?
On iTunes.
Did you ever see the review that I left?
I did not. And I'm not able to pull it up at the moment, but we will certainly look after the recording. This has been...
That's unfortunate. You also need to look at the review I left for An Arceus We Trust, because it's hilarious.
I certainly will. This has been the 6th episode of Pixels, Polygons, and Fun, a video game podcast where we talk about anything under the video game sun. I have been your host, Raging Gingy.
I've been Pegasus.
I've been DJ Skywalker.
And we will see you guys next time. Thank you very much for tuning in.